Again, we've been looking not verse by verse, but the Christian life as it's illustrated in the book of 1 John. We've seen the last few weeks that Christian life is a life of confidence in prayer. Today we'd like to read verse 4 and verse 5 of 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God, which you and I that are saved, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth, it's the same as faith, that Jesus is the Son of God. And we've looked at these verses in the past. We see that the Christian life is a life of victory, is a life of overcoming the world. Three times in these two verses we read that phrase, overcometh the world. To overcome is to conquer. To overcome is to triumph and to prevail. And as children of God, we are to conquer. We are to prevail over the world, and the world here is used to represent a system, a way of life. In fact, it is a system and way of life that stands in direct opposition to God. We would not have to overcome it. We would not have to conquer it if it were not in opposition. So the world has a system. And this is what John is talking about when he says, love not the world. We're not talking about the created world. We're not talking about creation. We're talking about the world as a system. The world has a way of life. And the world has is a system of ideas, ideas that are contrary to God, ideas that are contrary to God's word, and therefore ideas that have to be overcome. We know the misery that one brings into their lives as far as God's people are concerned when they bring the ideas, they adopt the ideas of the world into their way of living. The ideas of the world are to be overcome. The activities of the world stand in opposition to God's ways. The world as a system is made up of people who basically live their life in rebellion against God. We see that the world as a system, Satan is its prince. Satan is its ruler. John 12, verse 31, John 14, verse 30, John 16, verse 11, all speak of Satan as the prince of this world. Again, not the created world, but the world has a system. In Ephesians 2 and verse 2, we see that the philosophies, the course, the desire, and the pursuits of the world are all in accord, are all in agreement with the prince of the power of the air. So everything about the world as a system is patterned after the image of Satan, and I believe is the very embodiment of Satan himself. As a system, the world knows not Christ. As a system, the world hates Christ. As a system, the world opposes Christ. As a system, the world is filled with offenses. As a system, the world is said to be evil. In Galatians 1, verse 4, Peter talked about the pollutions of the world. So, we as God's people are to overcome the world. We're to live victoriously over the world. And we've already dealt with that aspect of the Christian life being victorious. John declares that the spirit of Antichrist is now already in the world. The very spirit of Antichrist, that which is anti, that which is opposed to Christ, is already in the world. Now, if we turn over to the book of Romans chapter 12, keep a mark there in 1 John. In Romans 12, very familiar verse of Scripture. Because the world has a system, is against Christ, we read in verse 2, and that is, in addition to presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, and which is your reasonable service. In addition to that, be not conformed. Be not conformed, be not formed or fashioned to this world. That is, as a system. Do not be fashioned. Do not fashion your life after the ideas, after the philosophies, after the course of this world. And this is a constant struggle. Every child of God struggles with this, because within all of us is a nature that does conform to this world and that wants to conform to this world. So there is a part of us that wants to be conformed, that wants to be fashioned, that wants to be patterned after the world. So he says, be not conformed to this world, but, that is, rather than being conformed, be ye, and that's present tense, continue to be transformed, that is, changed, altered. And this is an ongoing process. Be not conformed, but be ye changed or altered. That is where, and he goes on to say, by the renewing of your mind. He's telling us how we're not conformed and how we are transformed. It is by, that word by is the means of achieving something. How do we achieve this transformation? How do we achieve this change? How do we live opposite of the world, not being conformed to the world? By the renewing of your mind. That is, and again, this is present tense, is the constant renewing of our mind. This is how we overcome the world. You do not overcome the world by being conformed to it. You overcome the world by being transformed. And now if we go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he talks about overcoming the world. And the latter part of the verse, he says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And being transformed, we overcome. How is it that we renew our mind? Faith. It is the exercise of faith that renews our mind. We have two choices. We can walk by sight. We can walk by faith. If we walk by sight, we will be conformed to the ideas and the principles and the ways of the world. If we walk by faith, we renew our minds and we overcome the world. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? Which is an aspect of faith. Believing is part of faith. So that brings us to this part of the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of faith. It is a life of faith. And a life of faith is, again, opposed to everything that the world has taught us. It goes against the grain of our nature to walk by faith, to live our lives by faith. But if you think about it, every aspect of the Christian life, every single aspect of the Christian life involves faith. Somehow goes back to faith. And now notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we see that the Christian life, and when we say Christian, we mean a life of Christ-likeness. It's not, being a Christian is not just being saved. A Christian is a life of Christ-likeness. And in order to live a life of Christ-likeness, we have to have faith. We have to have faith. It's by faith that we see Christ. So in order to be like him involves faith. Now notice in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now what we have here is a definition of faith. It says faith is. Faith is. So what follows that is a declaration of what faith is, what faith does, what faith consists of. We see it involves things hoped for. Faith involves things hoped for. Things hoped for are yet future. It's something in the future. So faith involves things hoped for. We see also in verse 1, faith involves things not seen. So faith involves the future. Faith involves the invisible. Things not seen. That is, things not visible to the human eye. Now, concerning the things hoped for, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, faith is the ground. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Faith is what causes us to hope and gives us the confidence to hope. In other words, faith substantiates hope. Faith gives substance to hope. In other words, it makes it real. What this is saying is that faith gives solidity to hope. Faith gives meaningfulness to hope. Faith gives content to hope. In other words, it makes it real. Now, part of our hope involves the coming of Jesus Christ. That's faith. And faith substantiates that hope, makes it real. Makes it real. The coming of Christ is not real to most. It's not real to most who profess salvation. It's not a daily reality in their life. It takes faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But he goes on to say, faith is the evidence of things not seen, of things invisible to the human eye. Faith is the evidence. Now, if you're in a courtroom, there's evidence. Attorneys try to provide evidence. What's evidence? Evidence is proof. Evidence is proof. Evidence is confirmation. You see, we don't need today. We don't need archaeologists to find Noah's Ark to believe. And people will say if they could find Noah's Ark, everyone would believe. No, they wouldn't. It wouldn't change a thing. Because this is a matter of faith. Faith is the evidence. You look at all the archaeological discoveries that have been made through the centuries. And it doesn't cause people to believe. Just like when Jesus Christ performed a miracle right in front of people, they still didn't believe. It's a matter of faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we don't have to see it with our physical eye. The rich man and Lazarus, we see the rich man in hell said, if you would send Lazarus to my brother's house, certainly they would believe then. No, they wouldn't. If a man walked right out of hell up to the lost man's door and told them all about it, they still wouldn't believe. They still wouldn't believe. It's not about what we can see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That is, faith gives reality to the invisible. So faith involves things hoped for. Faith involves things not seen. And those two things, things hoped for and things not seen, fill the Christian life. The Christian life is a life about hope. And it is a life involving things not seen. And that's why faith is so necessary. And Paul declared, notice in Romans 1 verse 17, Romans 1 verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just, or the justified, those who have been justified, those who have been saved, shall live by faith. We see in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So we have to live by faith. That's why today you can take the Word of God in black and white, in plain English, show somebody what it says, have them read it, have them even explain to you what it means, and then turn around and say, I don't believe it. You cannot use the Word of God to prove God. It's somewhat comical for a child of God to take the Word of God and argue with an atheist, and because you have to believe this is the book. You have to believe this is His Word. And unless you have faith that this is His Word, they're not going to believe anything it says. And so again, everything comes back to faith. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that is, and nevertheless means just what it says, nevertheless, I live. Though I'm crucified, I live, and I do so nonetheless. Yet not I. Yet it's not me that lives, but Christ liveth in me. That's a matter of faith also. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life which you see me live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. That's faith. That's faith. To believe that the Lord loves you is a matter of faith. Gave himself for me, that's a matter of faith. So Paul is saying that he lived his life by faith. It is declared in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that you and I cannot please God without faith. For without faith it is impossible to please, to satisfy God. The Lord commanded faith. Mark 11 verse 22. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And every command in the Bible to trust the Lord is a command concerning faith. You cannot trust Him without faith. So every command and to trust God is a command concerning faith. Every command to cleave to the Lord concerns faith. You cannot cleave to the Lord except by faith. You cannot lay hold of a physical God. He does not have a physical being. If you're going to lay hold of Him, and you can, you must do so by faith. And faith makes God real, that is, to us. It makes God visible to us. Every command to yield to God is a command concerning faith. Every command to wait upon the Lord is a command concerning faith. Every command to seek the Lord is a command concerning faith. Every command to come to the Lord is a command concerning faith. So once again, everything about the Christian life gets back to faith. And this is why so many live lives of defeat and never really deal with their problems, because they never deal with the issue of faith. And everything gets back to faith, or a lack of faith. Dedication to the Lord. Nonconformity to the world. Transforming ourselves to Christ. Serving the Lord. Obedience to God. Following God. Prayer. Love to God. Enjoyment of the Lord. Peace, assurance, zeal, endurance, steadfastness are all related to faith. And really, the degree of these things is dependent upon our faith. We have to get to the real issue of things, which again is faith. The importance of faith is seen concerning the Lord's prayer concerning Peter. In Luke 22 and verse 32, he said, I pray that your faith fail not. You see, if our faith fails, we fail. We fail. The reason we fail in the Christian life is because we fail in faith. You can blame it on whatever you want to, but again, the real issue, everything comes back to faith. And that's why we need to ask ourselves many times, do I really, truly believe what I say I believe? We see the importance of faith is seen when we consider the warning concerning its opposite, which is unbelief. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 12, take heed, brethren, that is, give attention, lest, which is a word indicating danger, take heed, because there is a danger. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Now notice, he's talking to brethren. He says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is evil. It's evil. It's not just a fault that you have. It's not just a flaw in your personality. It's evil. I mean, if you think about it, it's truly evil not to believe God. That's evil. To even question God is evil. And all through the Bible, unbelief is condemned. But notice what it does. In you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief, any degree of it, leads to a departure from God. All unbelief is a departure from God. Therefore, it's evil. It's evil to depart from God, and all unbelief is a departing from God. We see in verse 19, he's talking about the Jews which did not enter the land of Canaan, and he's telling us why they didn't. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And three very important words, they could not. They could not. And there's a lot of things that God's people cannot do. And it's all because of unbelief. All because of unbelief. You tell a child of God you need to do this, and their response many times is, I can't. I can't. And they're partly right. In their present condition of unbelief, they can't. You see, they got to deal with this issue. It doesn't do any good to just keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. You're just beating your head against the wall. You have to deal with what it is that's preventing you from doing what you need to do. And that's dealing with the issue of unbelief or dealing with the issue of faith. So the Christian life is a life of faith. Everything about it goes back to faith. You and I cannot overstate the importance of faith. We can't do, we can't be what we ought to be without this faith. So we'll look next week more into this subject. Let's look to